Blog Talk Radio.
Mike and Mr. Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is December 20th of 2016, and we're broadcasting live from the DFW Metroplex area of the great state of Texas, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Mike Emerson, and joining us shortly will be my co-host, Vanessa McCarroll, and Crystal Senegal, who is actually traveling right now from the DFW area to Atlanta right now, though it just landed, and my friend is out there as well. But, AB.
Hello. Okay.
You got me with
my purse on my arm, a key in my hand.
Oh, Lord. Key in your hand. Good Lord, Christmas.
I was
telling
my friend
Angus.
So.
Okay, well, hey, not a problem. I'm glad you're here, though. Now Crystal just sent me a message and said she just landed in Atlanta, so.
Yeah, she just landed, yes.
She just landed, though. So, I'm glad she actually made it in as well, because I saw her over the weekend. And
oh, nice.
Actually,
y'all powwow without me. Thank you.
Yeah, just stop it. It was fun, though. We had fun. It was pretty cool. You know, that's the first time I actually met her.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we've been Facebook friends for a cool minute. We've collaborated, we've talked, stuff like that, too, as well as that. But hanging out, that's the first time. And we had so much fun as well. And she is just so funny.
I don't know about you being my business. I'm trying to see if I should be in my feelings about that or not. Let me see.
I don't really want
Let
you
me
to
think
quit.
On
you think on it?
Do you expect anything different from me? I don't know why.
You know what? I want you to quit. I really want you to stop. I want you to stop that. That is not fair. I want you to stop. So
I feel so, you
to behave. I want you to behave. Okay. I want you to stop. Okay. So, what we're going
to
do is tonight.
Misbehaving all the time.
All the time. And then you wonder why I am the way I am. Okay. So tonight.
You see why I'm the way I am, because you're the way you are.
Really? You're actually going to blame that on me?
Absolutely.
Anyway, tonight's episode, moving on. Christmas 2016 / Sugar, Sugar Daddies, and Sugar Mamas.
Okay.
Yep, it's that time of the year. Decorate trees, family and friends, seemingly in the shopping lines and holiday cheer. Well, almost. But we're going to semi-celebrate the upcoming holiday and discuss the growing trend of people that use money and status to get and sometimes keep their significant others. Okay. So, that being said, let's start with Christmas first, okay? Are we ready for Christmas? Have we done our shopping? Did the lines drive us crazy? Did we shop online? Did we get are we anticipating any drama?
Well, let's see. That was a lot of questions.
I just started going to knock it all out.
Christmas. You know, yeah, I think I'm ready for Christmas. I just, as I've gotten older and my children are older and I have grandchildren, I tend to look at Christmas a little differently. You know, I've done it for quite a few years, is that I'm not really big on, you know, you shop for your kids and your grandkids all year. And I think I try to now teach my kid about being more giving rather than a receiving all the time, because that's really not what Christmas is. Gifts should be given. You know, it shouldn't be what it is. It's just a thought. So this year, Christmas is a little different because I'm not with my family this year.
Okay.
So it'll be a little odd, you know, for me, because I'm real big on family. But as far as, you know, I shipped off gifts, you know, did it very easy. So it was really nice. I just ordered and they picked it up at the store and they get to wrap them themselves, you know. So,
wow.
So I'm as ready for Christmas as I want to be. I'm not definitely doing the traditional Christmas dinner. I'm doing seafood. So
seafood? I don't think a lot of people doing a lot of traditional stuff anymore. Not for Christmas anyway. And you're right.
And the dynamic. You get burnt out.
Thanksgiving,
you know, you do all that crazy cooking and all this, you know, elaborate stuff, and then it's like, I don't want to do that again. So I'm not doing it.
Yeah, don't you think the dynamic as far as like how we celebrate the holidays has changed over the years anyway?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I know it's not the way. It's not the way it used to be when I was a kid. You know, where we had the tree, where we had the gifts and all that stuff, and then like you're visiting the family and then all. You didn't do a tree.
I didn't even put up a tree this year. No. Because really, the tree was for my children. You know, it was really for like my grandkids, and my children are not here. So to me, it was like, okay, I don't really need a tree. Because I have to take it all down, then we'll have to put it up, and I don't want to do any of that. So
you don't do any of it.
I don't need a tree. I have to go look at some lights, you know. But you have people, you know, your family's close. Like if I was still in Dallas, you know, where my family is, I probably, you know, I would have definitely put up a tree and did the whole decoration, you know, and all that. But being here and not having my family here, so I didn't feel like I was just in that Christmas spirit type of thing. I'm really ready to get it over with.
Okay.
I'm so ready for Christmas to be over with.
Ready to go and get it over with and be done with the weather. But I understand that, though, because
to
me, they're family traditions that we've had since I was a kid that are still, like, in place now. And even though, like, my kids are grown and they've moved out and all, and they're on their own, and you're right, we're still kind of close-knit as well, though. So some of the traditions kind of fall into play and some don't, because I had talked to my mom today, and she was talking about going to a casino.
Yeah, I think my mom's like that. You know, well, my mom is real big on Christmas. It's like her favorite holiday of the whole entire year. And I'm pretty sure if you drive to Edmond, Oklahoma, my mom's house is probably decorated to nine. She's done it my whole entire life. But she's, even her time is a little bit different. The way that she, you know, her traditions are a little different because we used to all come home, you know, for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we did the gifts before Christmas, you know, and then we opened up the kids, you know. But it's kind of like all changed. It's like we're all so scattered out and, you know, and traveling and, I just did not want to travel during Christmas, but I am going to go home for her birthday. So, I'm going to go home for her birthday. So I just figured, you know, I'll just do all that then. But to me, it's Christmas anytime that I come home anyway. So.
Okay. And then also, like with your grandkids, that's going to be like something special too, because now, like I said, that in itself, because Christmas is pretty much about the kids and the family.
Yeah, it is definitely. And it's hard. It's harder because I don't have them. This is the first year I don't have them, you know, here to see the kids open up. Because I'm probably more excited watching them, you know, and them be excited about the simple things. Because it just makes you feel like life is a little, you know, just simple. They're happy with whatever. Like, you know, my smaller kids last year, they was excited about the paper. You know, they didn't too much care what was in the box. They wanted the paper. You know, so it's just those little things that you kind of do. So thank God for video chat, so I'll get a chance to, you know, to chat with them all. So I'm okay.
Yeah. No, you sure? You going to be all right?
I think I'm going to have to be. You know, I'm going to have to be because there's not much I can really do about it, you know. But it's different. It's kind of bittersweet. Like, it's really different not having them, you know, them here, so. Well, it'll be okay. I'll just bug all my people here. I'll just call you and bug you or something, you know.
Probably not that bad if you. But like you said, this is going to be the first Christmas or the only one where you actually been in that situation, right? Where everybody was away from everything. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's not right.
It's hard. I mean, you know, I think I'm so ready to get it over with because I know how I'm going to probably feel that day. You know, like I said, if it wasn't me going home to my family, my kids were always here with me. We were always somewhere together. So this year, ready, you know, I have one in Texarkana. I have one in Dallas. My son is in Oklahoma City. So, you know, they're all scattered. I do have a daughter here, though. You know, I do have one daughter here. So.
Okay. Well, like I said, I have one daughter in Ohio, you know, another one here, and I was nostalgic because the Christmas tree that I put up is the very one that they had when they were kids. I still have that same tree.
Wow. See, those are always a nice memory, you know, the things that you can just keep remembering and hand down. Is your daughter from Ohio coming home?
No. She don't care to make it home as well, though. I think, I'll probably see her again after the first of the year, though, because our schedules are so kind of jacked up as well. And then mine changed because of a few events that actually came up as well, though. So, I didn't really get a chance to actually do what I really originally planned to do. And so I had to, just go and start sending stuff lickety-split and all other stuff, too, as well, and then go to plan B, C, D, E, and F.
Yeah, you have to go down that list because it's up. But you're a chameleon, you know, you're adjust to it, so.
Yeah, you have to as well, though. But there's still, some traditions you can still kind of, put into play as well. And I have this. And this one, here's one that I do every year without fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is I pick one night before Christmas after the tree is up. And I sit in front of the tree.
Is there alcohol involved?
There can be.
Oh, okay. Whew. But
but see, this is one of those moments where you can just kind of sit back and relax and chill and reflect or what have you. You know, that kind of thing as well. But if you just have to have some alcohol, okay, that's fine too. No, if not, do like I do, get that big bowl of Captain Crunch and just handle your business, you know.
Yuck.
Yeah, a bowl of Captain Crunch and sit in front of the tree. I'm an adult. I can do anything.
Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch. Not gonna hurt.
Captain Crunch. No,
Captain Crunch or a line of Coke. What's it gonna be?
Oh,
let's see. Or a line of Coke with the Captain Crunch. I'm asking
you. With the Captain Crunch. Whichever you prefer. You know.
I would be up all night.
Right. You would be up all night until Christmas.
Yeah, in jail too. But I'm not going to get into all that.
Right, exactly.
You lock my brother up. No, we're not going to have that. We're not gonna have that though. Now I know some college kids that will probably go that route, but we're not gonna do that. But anyway, so everybody's gonna have their traditions though. And I also noticed when it comes to Christmas too, especially that, you know, everybody's buying online.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's the traditional sense of going out in the stores and the shopping and stuff like that too. Because I know the last few days, the malls and the shopping centers here in the Dallas area have been nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody is going to turn around and play. Yeah, somebody's going to play Jingle All the Way and wait to the last minute to buy gifts.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody does every year because.
Okay. Well, have you ever bought it? I'm quite sure you bought stuff online, right?
Yeah, I did. Everything I did this year was online, except for when I, you know, the little secret Santa stuff we did at work. But for the most part, I did everything online.
You did everything online.
Every single thing.
Okay. You didn't go to a store location and buy anything. You didn't make a purchase like that.
I did make a purchase, like I said, for the gifts I needed to get for Secret Santa. But, of course, it wasn't in the chaotic time. It was, like, this last week. So it wasn't, like, you know, everybody trying to last-minute shopping, which is, to me, is so annoying anyway. Even when I was going into the store and buying stuff, I would never wait till the last second, unless I just forgot something. But I just don't like chaos like that. You know, I don't like people fighting over a toy, and I'm thinking to myself, you do know all this stuff is going to go on sale, like, on the 26th, right? You do know your kids won't care less if you bought that gift today or you buy it tomorrow. You know, that's just my logic. It's like, I'd rather wait till after Christmas and go get all the things I really want.
Yeah, that's how I got that Christmas tree.
Right, see?
That was originally like $189. That was $189 for that Christmas tree, though. I got it for $40.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So that's what makes me tickle my fancy, because I'm like, woohoo, this was $200. Because I have this amazing popcorn maker that looks like the little mini popcorn maker that, like, in the movie theater. It looks just like a replica of that. It's, like, big, and you dump it. And I had seen it in JCPenney's, like, all that Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm not spending $190 on that, but I want it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I went back to the, you know how you want it, but I'm like, oh, I don't want it that much for $200. But, and I end up going back and getting it for like $50, like $49.99 for this, because they have so many of them.
Yeah. Well, they could have had, like, stuff on back order. People could cancel their orders, though. They could have, like, ordered too many. If people don't pick them up, they got to clear that stuff out, though. So there you go. You know, that works for cars, too, folks. I mean, for real, though. The best time to buy a car is right before the model year flips over. That's the best time to buy a car, though. And guess what? People have been buying up cars like crazy. But you know why? Because they got
to
get rid of them. Yeah, 2017
they have to
is coming in, though, so that's a great...
But income tax is coming, people's ready to, you know, so those car salesmen, they ready.
I got hit up by three of them, and I just bought one, though. But anyway, okay, now we're going to get into... we're going to get into the second part of our show, which is sugar, sugar daddies, and sugar mamas. I'm going to tell you why I brought this up, okay? Why are we doing this as well? I had a conversation with a coworker, and it's actually like a running joke, but I did a little research about this one as well, and I found out that this is turning into an industry now. You believe that? To where, like, individuals are willing to pay for companionship that's on that level. There are websites that cater to that. For individuals that are actually looking for arrangements.
SugarDaddy.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look at it like that as well. But they're looking for stuff like that as well, though. But they also got people out there that are trying to do it without the website. In other words, they want a sugar daddy, but they want a sugar daddy or sugar mama, but they don't want to come off no sugar.
Okay, this is where I'm having. Okay, you know, I did an article about this. But I did more like the male gold digger. Same difference.
The male. But there are females that are doing that on their tip as well, too, you know.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to understand that this sugar daddy, sugar mama thing, really before we started calling them sugar moms, because before women didn't have the same financial stability to do those things. So it's always really been sugar daddy. And that sparks from the fact that these men that are entitled and have money and feel like, you know, they can have whatever they want, and they start splurging on these women. At first, it didn't seem like it was a big deal. It was just, you know, hey, I'm taking care of this chick. Till women start seeing that this is what they want. You know, it's kind of like supply and demand to me. Have I been in situations like that? Yes, I have. Was I a sugar mama? No, because I would probably be a horrible one. But it's not that you ask for that situation. It just happens in that situation. So men that have power and money, they feel like they can buy and sell and have whatever they want. So women are just like, okay, that I'm going to get what I want out of the deal, you get what you want out of the deal, and we call it a day.
Wow.
So, is it a trend? No, it's just been around for a very, very long time. It's just more on the forefront, and people are just more open and willing to say that's what it is.
So it's a strong belief that you think, like, if you have money and status, that is
mm-hmm.
your green light. That is what you can utilize to get that, though. And I guess the sad part is, though, there are people that will take you up on that.
There's a lot of people that take you up on that. I mean, people are more materialistic. It's not about love. It's not, marriages are disposable. You know what I'm saying? It's not about love and you're my companion and you're my soulmate. It's like a give and take, what can you do for me type of syndrome. And people just do it. They feel like if I can't find love this way, I'm going to buy it. And I'll just make them love me, or they'll love me for this. They're not loving me for me. They're going to love me for my money. If that's how some people want to find love, that's on them. If they're okay with doing it and they're okay with what people's going to call it, and it is what it is.
But isn't it kind of crazy, though, that you get involved with somebody like that on that level and there's no strings attached?
What do you mean by no strings attached? There's always strings attached.
No,
I don't know why people say that.
No, it's like simply stated, like
you get what you want
as long as I get what I want and everybody's happy. Live for today.
Right, so that's strings
attached. In other words,
like, you know,
the arrangement aspect of it, though. Like, you know, like that, it's like, you know, it compasses the sugar daddy, sugar baby philosophy, though. You know, arrangement is a negotiated relationship between a sugar daddy or sugar mommy, the benefactor, and a sugar baby or whatever, the younger companion. The benefactor agrees to financially assist the sugar baby or sugar pup in return for companionship. The terms of relationship are clearly spelled out, so both parties get exactly what they want.
Well, I think that sometimes that you know, people get their heart broken so much, and they really genuinely try to find genuine love. Like, they really want that. And we live in such a chaotic world, and we live in a world where everything is materialistic and everything is superficial, and from the women's bodies, and, you know, everything is visual to them. You know what I mean? So you don't live in a world, because we have so many ways of meeting people and dating people, and, you know, everything is just like, it's programmed. You know what I'm saying? There's just no real love in any situation much anymore. So why settle for something that you really don't want? But, you know, if I had this type of money, I'll get this type of woman, because that's what I really want. Or this is my fantasy type woman, or this is someone that I think, you know, if I know that she's down for doing that and you're down for doing it, then let's just see what happens. It's not going to probably last long, but some people don't care. They live for the moment. Just if it's 6 months, 6 years, just whatever it is, it is. Does it make it right? No.
I don't think it's even a situation where it's about anything being morally correct. Anything like that, though. This is an arrangement. This is about the idea of these individuals, like, wanting what they want. And you find somebody that's actually willing to give you what you want as long as you reciprocate.
Right, it's just like finding an arranged marriage. The other countries
that do arranged marriage.
You know what I'm saying? They find a man that's very well off. The family's well off. They both can he can take care of my daughter. You can do this. You can do that. So, okay, your son is going to marry my daughter. It's no different. It's just in our culture, we call it sugar daddies and sugar mamas. You know, this is just an arrangement. It's no different than having an arranged marriage. It's just an arranged situation. And most people that's in those situations, they know they're in those situations. They know if they didn't have X amount of dollars, they wouldn't get this type of person, male or female. You know what I mean? Women tend to do it for just men. I think men do it more for sex, and women do it more for emotional security. They buy men. They have certain type of men. They take care of them because they know if they assume responsibility, they have the control. So the man is going to have a tendency to be more attentive. He's going to do all the things she wants him to do because she's paying for everything. men do it because they feel like as long as I'm paying all her bills, taking care of her, making her look good, then I can have sex with her anytime I want to and how I want to.
Hmm. Only if they
it's
agree
different.
To that, though.
Yeah, most people that's in those situations have agreed to do it. And so they may not just sit down and write a contract and say, this is what we're going to do. It's like one of those unspoken type of situations. And, you know, it's usually you see the age difference. It's always a big age difference in that situation, which is where the sugar daddy come from, because you have that daddy take care of you type of syndrome. Mommy take care of me type of syndrome. You know, I've had a man say, oh, hold me. And then I was like, get up and go home. You know, so, because that's just not my thing. I don't want to hold you.
Wow. That is so crazy.
Yeah,
and then the question was posed to me, if I were approached with something like that, would I go there? And so inexplicably, no. I would, no.
You would not take up a sugar mama.
No.
If she's willing to fund everything you need done, she's going to make sure that your career gets to where it needs to be. I'm going to be your support system, and all I need you to do is put it down for me like twice a week.
No.
You would. You're just fibbing.
No, I would not. No, I would not. That's prostitution.
How is that prostitution?
I am whoring myself. I am whoring myself out like that. No.
How is that whoring yourself out means you're going around all these different people and you're going to this person. This. If it's one individual that says, I want to take care of you, I want to make sure that you have all your needs.
Look at the stipulation behind all that. Look at that as well, though. Clearly, I'm getting more than they're getting.
You don't know that because you don't know what they need. They may not need the same thing that you need. Your needs and
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, but you're talking about the idea of putting it down twice a week, and all of a sudden you just opened up the, you know, you just gave me a blank check. I'm whoring myself out because there's some monetary gain involved.
How are you whoring yourself out?
Yeah, there's monetary gain involved, though. I'll supply your needs, and I'll do all this, and I'll do all that as well, though. The only thing you have to do is this. I'm a hoe.
How are you a whore?
Because I just whored myself out, though. Look at you just made an arrangement.
Why
just that
you fast. Why are you a whore? That's crazy. A whore is somebody that's doing this that's someone that's doing it with a multitude of people. Like, if, you know, you're going from this person getting money and this person getting money and this person, you know, you're just kind of like, you know, you're just spreading your royal oats there. You're just kind of out there or whatever. But I think if it's a mutual agreement between two people, how are you a whore?
It's still a transaction, and that's what that is.
Okay.
It's a transaction.
What's
the difference? No emotional attachment when it comes to that as well, though. There's really not much in the idea of a backstory as well, though. It's an arranged deal.
Mike, no matter.
It is.
If the situation is, it's not a sugar daddy, sugar mama situation, there's always sex in transactions. There's always sex
that's true.
And money.
But you never put something like that on it. But look how you said that, okay? I'll take care of all your needs. I'll do this. I'll do that. Like, if you bang, that's a trade-off.
But it's
that's
the same thing. It's the same thing. Any relation, it's a transaction. Even if it is a normal, functional, I met you, I like you, but you have, like, you can do this for me, and you can take care of me in this way, and you take care of me in this way, it's still a sex money transaction.
If you wind up actually putting it on the table just like that, just like you just did. You said, you know, okay, like if I do this, I do that, and all you have to do is put it down twice a week or three times a week like that, though. I'll do this, I'll do that, though. It's still a transaction like that, though. It's still a tit for tat kind of thing.
You still do it anyway in any type of relationship. You are still.
Yeah, but the difference is there's no emotional attachment to it as well. There's no emotional attachment to it, though. There's no emotion or anything. Feelings invested off it as well, though. You may as well be having sex with it. You may as well be talking to the gas case in attendance.
Like I said, Mike, it's always a sex and money transaction, even if it's in a loving relationship or an arranged relationship. Because if your wife stay at home or if you stay at home and the other person works, you're going to expect certain things, house to be clean. I'm going to expect you to be ready to put it down when I get home from work. I'm going to make sure the kids are put away. It's still a transaction because you're out making all the money. You're paying all the bills in the house. You're doing all the things that she needs you to do. And when you come home, you have expectations as well, correct or incorrect?
Yeah, that's correct, though. But what I'm saying is, though, there is no attachment to this. There is no attachment to this. So somebody comes to you, lays it on the table, talking about, okay, I understand you got this, that, and the other. You want that done as well, though. I have the means to do so, though, but you have to do this in order to get it.
What's the difference? You say if you stay at home and I go to work, that means that when I come home, I would like to have dinner cooked. I'd like to have, you know, my newspaper out, breakfast in the morning, my coffee, whenever. You're still expecting something from me, right? And so when you get paid, I'm expecting something from you. Right?
Not necessarily.
I'm going to do this, and we didn't put a list down and say, I'm going to do this, and that, and you're going to do this, and that. It's unspoken. So it doesn't matter how we word it, say it, display it, give it to you, however, it's still the same thing. It's just
Not necessarily so, though. Like one is just purely, like, you know, done, you know, for lack of a better term, naturally, though, where the other one is contracted.
Everything's a contract.
Okay. So that automatically assumes, like, when you want to get in a relationship with somebody, though, there's a contract involved.
No, I
don't go into something like shit like that with any preconceived notions or expectations. I don't. You better have my thing on the table. No, I do not do that. No. Cavemen do that crap. I don't.
Everybody have expectations when they go in and out of a relationship. It doesn't matter.
To a greater or lesser degree, though, but mine is all spelled out on a black and white piece of paper.
Have expectations of them. You mean, who does that? Like, I'm not going to get into any situation that I don't have certain type of expectation, not only for myself, but for the person that I am trying to be involved with. We all have to have some type of expectations of something.
Yeah, but in this case, you're talking about the idea of somebody actually, like, taking it. You're going to give them sex, and they're going to give you money. What does that sound like? Prostitution.
Okay, when you do that in your marriage, is it prostitution?
Okay, because marriage. We're talking about an arranged relationship here, though, where people are actively out there seeking people that are willing to pay you for whatever it is you're willing to give them. Still sound like prostitution, though. So you're saying marriage is prostitution?
No, you're saying that because
I'm not saying marriage is prostitution. You're saying that it's still a contract. That's all about that. You're saying marriage is prostitution.
You may not, but I'm saying if someone said, I'm going to give you all sex tonight, baby, I'm going to sex you down right if you give me them Louis Vuittons. And you'd be like, oh, okay.
Who does that? Who in a normal relationship actually does that, though? Maybe I love you, though, but I need this motorcycle over here, though. If I put it down, you give me the money for it. No, really? Who does that?
It happens every day, Michael. I don't know what world you live in.
I'm going to figure out what world you're living in. We need to get some people on here to talk about that.
Are you serious? Are you kidding me?
For real, I don't know anybody that turns around and says, like, okay, I'm going to trade it. I'm in a normal relationship.
I live in a world.
But I'm going to give her some sex. And she can get enough money to put on a down payment on this ride.
Mike, I did a whole series on these guys that are considered male gold diggers. They actually seek women to do things for them, pay for their college, same thing that women do. You know, it's no different. It's like you live in a world that I live in a real, realistic world because I know that things like this happen. I'm not blinded and I'm not like, oh my God, I can't believe this would ever happen. Oh my God, it's like prostitution. It's what it is. If you're happy with it, then you're happy with it.
You cannot tell me that that is not borderline prostitution. You can't tell me that's not borderline prostitution, though. You are promising some type of favor to somebody that has money, and they're giving that same money to you. That's prostitution.
Okay. How is that prostitution?
And it's only dealing with older people, older women, older men. Now, have I? Now, I'll go ahead and put it out there though. Have I been approached by someone like that though? Yes, I have. Did I take them up on it? No. And no, I didn't go on SugarDaddySugarMama.com looking for them.
If two consenting adults decide to have a money sex transaction or money companionship transaction or whatever the case be is, that's not prostitution. That's between them two. It has nothing. Now, if you're doing this with a multitude of people, yeah, I can kind of see that being a little bit much. If one person,
they've gone on these websites and they have talked to different people as well, though. They've hooked up with these individuals. They got their money. They got their favors, and they are getting banked. They're getting as much as $1,500 a week from several individuals collectively.
Okay. The whole point of this conversation was what? Sugar daddy, sugar mama. We didn't say if this sugar daddy, sugar mama was a level of prostitution or a level of whoring yourself out. The whole question was
It is whoring yourself out as well, though, because instead of actually going out there, what are you giving up? Text.
Okay.
And what are you giving up for? Money.
Okay, so women give up sex for nothing. Men give up sex for nothing. And then they're abused or upset, feelings are hurt, they have nothing to show for it.
The idea is to get the sex. I'm not giving the sex to get money. I'm giving sex to get pleasure.
Sex,
not sex for money. That's the trade off.
But women don't view sex the same way you men view sex. See, we can go without it and be fine. You know what I'm saying? That's why pussy's powerful, point blank.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So
you guys will do whatever possible.
Women,
you need to do.
If women are smart,
give money, buy cars, buy houses. People do whatever else. It's the same. It doesn't matter. You want to make it like it's prostitution and whoring and all of that. It's just not what that is. It's because that's
what
society told
you.
What
are you talking about, though? You're supposed to be having sex for the sake of pleasure, not turning a buck. If you're turning a buck with sex, though, kind of makes you a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who said
your
so?
Main goal for having sex
who
with somebody is to get money out of them, though?
Who says a woman is a prostitute or a man is a prostitute? Who said that? That I can't
no,
put a price
using,
on my
if you're
vagina.
Using sex to get money, what does that make you? What, entrepreneur?
But how would you using sex if we both agreed upon, okay, what's your need? I want some sex.
But,
what's your need? I need my bills paid. Okay, well, let's go out and change that on up. What's the difference?
Hello, it's still the same thing, though.
The same need
your,
someone
because your goal
need.
Is not
you know
about, your
saying?
Goal isn't about sex. Your goal is money.
Mm-hmm. Her goal may be money, or his goal may be money, and her goals may be sex, or his goal may be sex. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem?
The problem is, though, you're making my argument. The end result is you're after
you're
money. Not you're not
then,
after
so
pleasure.
So what about the guy
you're
that's
after
the
money?
Sex? Okay,
huh?
So men are about the sex. Women are about the sex. What about the ones who just want sex?
No, I'm talking about, just want sex, though. Now, I can see that as well. The trade-off is simply sex, though. That doesn't make them a home. If you didn't make them a home.
Why not?
That's not them home.
I may not want to have sex. Maybe that's not what I want. But that's what you want from me, but that's not what I want from you. So just because my needs or his needs or their needs are different, that makes it wrong?
No, that makes
my needs are different.
Think about it.
My needs and your needs as a man and a woman are completely different. So what you need to feel fulfilled and happy is completely different than what a woman may need and feel happy.
See, that's why I will never have a sugar daddy. Because I'm not going to stand around and actually turn myself over like that, though, just to turn a buck.
And you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't particularly need a sugar daddy. What's the point? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's no point in that because I don't like to feel control. That's my issue. I would be the worst sugar baby or whatever you call them in America because I feel like you can control me at that point. And that's what men do, and that's what women do. It's a control thing. So
exactly.
For you and
you're
I, it may not be what we would prefer to do, but
money.
I can't knock the people
dangling.
That do it.
Yeah, you're dangling that carrot over their heads, though. I know you need money, so why don't you go and break me off something right here, though, and here you go. Really? You want to have that dangle on? But
okay.
Some people are okay with that as well, because, once again,
that's
their motivation is all about the money.
You and I may not be okay with that scenario, but I don't really look like you're a whore, you're a prostitute if you do that. That's your business. You know your self-worth and your self-value. If your self-worth and self-value was to pay off your bills or to pay off your car, that's you. That's not me. That's no reflection of me. I'm not calling you a whore. I'm not going to call you a prostitute. I'm not going to call. That's your thing. That's why they have those sites out there. They're private sites. You don't have to. You're not forced to go be on those sites. The men are not forced to be on them sites. Women aren't forced to be on those sites. They choose it. And when you make a choice, that's your decision. It's not for me or you to judge any of them that choose to do it. It's just not our preference. You prefer the old school, I want to fall in love, I want to sit across and dangle in your eyes and see, you know, how we're compatible and fall in love. That's all you want. Let's sip champagne in front of the fireplace.
And let's forget all the formalities, though.
Told.
Let's go handle business.
You know?
Let's just go to this closet over here, handle business, and be done with it. Oh, that's it.
So, you know, everybody has a preference. You know what I mean? It's just, we just have different preferences. I'm sure, man, your preference is completely different, too. So, you know, men think, you know, you have your players, and you have the men that think women are just disposable toys, and you have the mama boys, you know. Like, I have three categories in my magazine. I have baby boys, insecure men, and real men. And I always ask them, what category do you fall under?
What category do I fall under?
No, not you per se, but which one do you feel like you fall under?
Which one do I feel like I fall under? I'm a traditionalist.
That wasn't one of the choices.
No, but it's true. I'm a traditionalist.
Are you a real man? Are you a baby boy? Or are you an insecure man?
I'm a real man.
That's all you
have
to say.
I'm a no-brainer.
Real men fall under the tradition. Real men understand leadership. They understand provision. They understand security. Insecure men only understand control. They're very insecure with themselves, so they have to beat up their women, yell at them, disrespect another man to feel power. They don't understand men, real men, understand leadership. They can exude authority when they walk into a room. So there's three categories that you fall up under. Baby boys, they're looking for mommy. Not necessarily have to be sugar mamas. They just want, hold me, you know, will you fix my plate? Will you do it? I want to do those things because that's what I want to do, not because you just feel like that's what I have to do for you, like you're my child. Yeah, will you run my bath water if you do this? If you start asking me, I'm about to say no.
Wow.
What? What's wrong with that answer? Jeez.
You know, I'm not even going to even go crazy, though. I'm just going to let that go. You
know?
I'm just going to let it go.
You guys don't get it.
If
you do things naturally, Mr. Traditional, you have it's a natural occurrence because I feel like I take great care of my significant other. I have no problem doing anything my significant other wants me to do as long as my needs are met as well. And I don't have a problem fixing plates. I don't have a problem running your bath water, giving you a bath, giving you massages. I have no problem doing all that stuff. But my needs need to be met, whatever those needs are.
And,
it's simple,
and,
point
and
blank.
Really?
And what? I'm sorry? I didn't quite hear the question.
So as long you don't have a problem with doing whatever, as long as your needs are met.
No. Exactly.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
I like that. I don't have a problem with doing anything as far as like as long as needs are met. But the thing is, like, I don't want the needs to turn into a list of demands.
Right. So that's how I feel. Like, if you're demanding me, are you? I think we all have expectations of our significant others because we are with them because we know that they can meet those expectations, whatever they may be. However, when they become you demanding me to do something, that's when there's an issue because now it's not a natural thing I want to do for you. It's like I feel like I have to or there's consequences. You see what I'm saying? When I feel like there's a consequence for me not doing something or there is a reward for me to do something, I have a problem.
Mm.
So, me, I'm just not going to do it, period. This is not going to happen. I don't care what you do. Do what?
Wow. You're not going to do it, period.
No, I'm not. When you start making me feel like if I don't do something, then I'm not going to do something that you know I normally would do for you because you're not doing for me, then it becomes a tit for tat, then we're just both about to lose because I'm just not going to care.
Wow.
I mean, you can't have a one-sided relationship. You can't. It's not going to function. You know, you have to have both parties willing. Even if one is falling out of love and the other one is still madly in love, it's never going to work. You have to be on the same type of page of each other. And if you don't, you do things like cheat and become abusive verbally, emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually. You know, you start doing, you act out. So you have to have a balance. One can't give more than the other. Even though in most relationships, one is giving more than the other. We just learn to be complacent and accept it. I'm just not willing to do it. I'm just not going to. I'm sorry. I totally think you. I don't know how to answer these questions because I feel like I'm just so, you know, forthcoming and just whatever is whatever. And, you know, everybody learns like I'm learning. I think we're, you know, sugar daddy or sugar mama, you know, everybody's had those situations at some point in their life. And you may have been in one and you just didn't know. So you're saying you've never been in a relationship with someone that you took care of, and in return, she took care of your sexual needs?
No, I've never been in a relationship like that.
Never.
Never. Somebody tried.
So all your relationships have been like what?
You know, well, fairly traditional ones, though, to where, like, we weren't actually making, like, you know, monetary, like, you know, exchanging sexual favors for money.
So she's never said, baby, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for you if you do X, Y, and Z for me. If you buy me this purse, I really, really want this purse. And so for your birthday, I'll do this. I'll give you extra.
Are we serving ice cream up or what?
Yes. You'll get the cherry on top with the whipped cream and all of that, you know?
No, I don't want a whipped cream. No, that's a mess.
You may not be willing to think about it. I bet if you thought about it, I bet you're like, well, dang, yeah, you know, it's kind of like that. Even though in my traditional head, it really wasn't like that, but, you know, we all know we've been in those situations.
That is crazy.
Why are you Michael? Like, seriously.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
I mean, like, really, that is crazy.
I need
to
back
crazy,
up here
though.
Now, because I need...
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy, though. Well, you're like, you know, if you think about, like, you know, it's crazy, V. It's not.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm not saying that in no shape or form am I saying that it is a normal occurrence, you know, in our eyes. In some people's eyes, that's just what it is. I mean, we see it on all these reality shows. We see it when these rappers, basketball players, they get all these quote-unquote, they call them trophy wives, these very artificial, superficial, made-up women, you know what I'm saying? and they're, you know, buying diamonds and doing all this stuff. They're like, what are you, that's no different. You know, we have people doing it all the time. I mean, artists, singers, rappers, you know, millionaires, they do it all the time. And it's not, I'm in love with her, that's the woman. They just knew they wanted that woman, and they knew the way to get her was to shower her with all these gifts and let him know that he can take care of her and do all these things. And it happens that way. So is that you're a whore and you're a prostitute? I mean, when men are just doing it, and they just, here, I'm going to buy you this, I'm going to get you this, here you go, take this, here. And then in return, they're having sex in return and spending time together. Is that a whore? Even though that is sex and money still.
No. What makes it, it's still the money aspect to me, the motivation behind it. That's what points me in that direction. That's what actually gives me pause.
So what about being wine and dine? I'm taking you on a trip.
There's nothing wrong with wine and dining, though, but if that's your main goal, if that is your main goal outside of that, though, you're not really that vested off into the person, though. You just see them as a means to an end.
Okay, but what is the difference? This is what I'm saying. We're going to use men and women because I know women do it, too, but let's use a guy. If a guy sees this woman and date number one, he's buying bracelets, he's whining and dining and, you know, taking her here, let's go on a jet here, let me take you on a cruise, let me do this for you, and just giving, because he wants that particular thing so bad, because he, in his head, it's always going to be sex. They're not looking at her, men are physical, they're not looking at her and be like, oh, I want to be with her emotionally. They're like, I want to bang her back out. That's what I want to do. I want to see if she gets great oral sex. That's what I want to do. But in order for me to do that, I'm going to show her I can take care of her. So I'm going to buy her this. I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to keep on, and boom, we have sex. If it's good, oh, great. He's going to buy more because he wants to get to that same euphoria again.
Okay, there are like that, though. I understand that. I agree. There are guys like that as well, though. But there are also people that are not geared up like that as well, though, because they're looking in a traditional sense, though. Yes, if somebody actually has the means, though, okay, that's all well and fine, though. But you cannot sit there and tell me, though, that you're willing to forego any emotional attachment to that, though, for the sake of the companionship, though. Even though I know some people do it, but at the same time, by that other side, on the other side of the equation, you got people out there that know people that are like that, that have the means, that want to be needed like that, and they know that, and they take advantage that way. It's kind of like that. Have you seen that Chris Rock movie where they're like, I think I love my wife?
Yes.
Yeah, when there's a scene where one of his friends is actually telling him, though, you like being needed, and that bitch knows it.
Well, that is not the other person's issue. It's your issue.
No, because
the other person doesn't care. No, it's her need to be needed. It's whatever. It's there. I mean, if it's not going to be that chick, it's going to be someone else. If it's not going to be that chick, because if he doesn't change, he's always going to find that type of woman. If you are just one of those people that need to be needed, women, you know, we are nurturers, and that's what we want to do. So if you find someone that's like, I'm going to buy you this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because I just need to be needed. You know, I need to be wanted. I need to feel like I'm accepted. I need to feel like I can find a woman that's on this status. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, they're going to do all those things, and then in return, she know his need is he wants to have sex. So what's the problem?
That's the deal right there. The motivation behind it is the problem. Your motivation behind that should get it with this individual in the first place. It's not because you think they're good people. It's not because you like them. It's not because you really know them and you feel some endearment toward them as well. All that. It's a bank. You may as well be kissing a bank vault, though, because that's essential. That's ultimately what they are. They're the bank. They are that dude is not Willie Newsom. He is Wells Fargo.
Okay, so however you start something is how you're going to end something. So how you start that relationship,
Okay. However you start the relationship.
I am simply saying, though, that's what it boils
however
down to.
However you start
they didn't
that relationship,
you because they
Michael,
love, exactly,
how you gonna
exactly, exactly. And there isn't going to be anything as well, though. And some of them are actually sit up here waiting until some of them die. Just wait until they kick the bucket, though, because they're already invested off in it. They find some way to kind of worm their way off into that as well, though, to where they're actually locked into the finances well out to that guy's, the woman or the guy's corpse turn cold, and that's it. Come on. And they're taking everything, you know, including the dog. So,
well, people that and married couples in relationships do that.
Yeah,
but at the same time, there's an emotional attachment to that as well, though.
That money is circumstantial when it comes to that as well, though, like that. These people came in with the express intention of getting the money. It wasn't
okay,
a, it
so
was
when
a happenstance.
People, when we have people not, and we have plenty of shows, wait a minute, Michael. When we have people that take out life insurance policies on each other and they want to kill each other over it, or they're poisoning them to death, or they're just, it's the same thing. It's about money.
Yeah. Exactly, it's the same thing as back money.
It's
though.
About
so
money.
They're killing each other when it comes out as well, though, because once again, the motivational factor is money. It isn't about
exactly.
love. It isn't about care of that individual like that. Though they may even be endeared with them to a certain degree, though. But they're not all in. They're all in when it comes to the money. On the other hand, though, but when it comes to everything else, no, they're not all in. They're not.
How many relationships do you know really that today that people are all in?
How many of your friends?
Like they're all in. You have to. That's very hard to find that somebody or your significant other, a person that you're attracted to, a person that you're interested, is all in and invested.
The people that I know personally that are in relationships and or married though, they are 100% all in. I know that for a fact.
Okay, so I can honestly say that.
Money is not the motivational factor behind them actually being together.
How long have they been together?
How long have they been together? Like, you know, on the lower part of the spectrum, though, maybe about 7 years. On the larger end of the spectrum, though, like, you know, 10 to 20. So,
okay.
I mean,
we're talking about relationships today. Not the ones that built those relationships 7 years ago, 10 years. Your friends that are single right now, that is trying to find relationships, they're not going to find the same thing that your friend has been married in relationship for 7 years, not even just 7 years ago.
Well, I wouldn't even discount that as well, though, because you understand there probably is somebody out there that they haven't run into yet, though, that's on the same page. And if they were ever come together, guaranteed, though, they would actually be better. That's very true. I agree. Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't discount that, though. But I know for a fact what you're coming at is the idea that the deck is so stacked against the idea of finding that little bit of traditionalism or common sense or what have you, though, that you're going to be bombarded with everything else. And we're at the 90-second mark, rather. I'm like 90 minutes. 90-second mark right here, though. We'll get ready to actually wrap all this up as well, though.
Already, though.
You see how fast this can go?
Because you are trying to bottle me.
No, I'm not trying to. I pick something like this because I know you'll jump in with both feet. But anyway, we're going to do it. And I'm going to thank my lovely co-host, Vanessa, for joining me tonight. I'm glad Crystal actually made it in well like that. She'll be back with us next week. I want to wish everybody a great rest of the week, great weekend, a merry, merry Christmas. And we will get back with you again back here next Tuesday on the Mike Henderson Show, Blog Talk Radio. And like my man Deadpool would say, have a good night and cue the music.